Welcome back to the Voice of Florida Architecture, the podcast of AIA Florida. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA. My co-host today is our current AIA Florida president, Elizabeth Camargo. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Welcome, everybody. And thank you so much, Rhonda, for allowing me to join this wonderful conversation that's about to take place. Welcome to our jurors from Greece.
This is a special episode because Elizabeth and I have the pleasure of introducing our design award jurors. Our jury is comprised of distinguished architects and educators who spent several days reviewing the submissions and thoughtfully considering each project. This year, we had over 300 submissions in 12 different categories. So just a little bit of history. As immediate past president, your first duty is to chair the design awards and to organize the jury. In recent years, we've sought international juries in that it provides a level of prestige and removes any unintended biases of domestic juries. International juries are less likely to already be familiar with the projects and firms or competing for those same projects. Plus, recipients now have the privilege of having their work being evaluated and awarded by an international jury. So when it came time, my first thought, of course, was Athens, Greece, a city internationally recognized as the cradle of Western architecture. What better place to share our members' innovative and inspiring projects in a place so deeply rooted in architectural tradition? Elizabeth, you played a major role in this process. You asked where I might be considering to organize a jury, and I shared with you that Greece was my first choice, but that I knew absolutely no one. You graciously shared that you had a friend in Athens.
I was very happy to reach out to my friend Stratis Papadopoulos, and that would be a great opportunity for me to see my friend again. And I knew he would have the best contacts with the local architects to put up a jury together for us. And he said, yes, let me see who I can get for you. And the rest is history.
Let's meet our 2025 Design Awards jury. It was absolutely such a privilege to meet each and every one of you. And as Elizabeth mentioned, Stratis, who served as the jury foreman. Stratis, thank you again for all your efforts. Let's begin the introductions with you.
Well, I can say hello to everybody. It was very nice to see you all again, even on the screens. I'm an architect practicing in Athens, Greece.
How do you know Elizabeth? Tell us that.
Well, we used to work together at an office in New York City back in the 80s.
You are dating our house, Stratis, please.
Elizabeth was a small girl, but at that time. It was very nice to hear from her. It was a surprise for me because I haven't done that. Usually it was in the other side, I mean, as competitions that I submitted projects or in awards, but there was never a jury, so I had to think about it and decide, get in that spirit and decide whether I could do that.
Sophia.
I am also an architect, a very good friend of Stratis. We've been friends for many years with Stratis and his wife and co-workers in some projects. And it was a very nice surprise when he called me and asked if I was interested in participating in this distinguished event. And I said, right away, yes, I would like that very much. I have some ties with America because I was born there. I studied in Greece, but I did my master's in the United States at the University of Michigan. So whatever brings me back to my old years is always a very nice surprise. It was very organized, and we knew exactly what we had to do and what the procedure was.
Leonidas.
It was such a great opportunity to have been invited in this jury. I am a practicing architect in Athens, Greece, and I'm also teaching in the University of Athens in the School of Architecture. And it was a great opportunity to meet again with old friends and make new friends here in Greece and in and all the people that you came over from Florida. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Chris.
Hi, Rhonda, and all of you. Again, thank you very much for the opportunity. It was a great pleasure for me as well, as being a US educated and trained architect back for 15 years in New York City and at Columbia University. So I left very, you know, like honored and humbled, and at the same time, I felt very familiar to be with great colleagues and friends from Greece and America to review the projects. And thanks again for the opportunity.
And finally, Nicholas.
Hello again. It's a great pleasure to see you on the screen this time. It was a pleasure for me as well to be part of this jury. I'm an architect myself, educated in Greece and in the States. I had my master's at Yale. Then I worked as an architect for several years in New York. So it was a great opportunity to connect to the American architectural production of these years. I'm also teaching at the School of Architecture in Athens. And so I'm more related, more connected to education and research these days. So this was an opportunity to get back to the spirit, the, you know, the frame of mind of practicing architecture from the point of view of the jury this time. Thanks again, and it's a pleasure to see you.
In choosing the jury, my attention was to broaden the spectrum of experiences that we would introduce into this jury by choosing people that had similarities and different interests as well. Leonidas and Christophoros and Nicholas were teachers as well in the university, and Sophia and me were more practitioners.
I would like to ask a question for you all. So what preconceived ideas did you have about Florida architecture? And did your opinion change after reviewing the submissions?
I had visited Florida a few years ago, and I had an idea, a little bit of its architecture. We were at that time renovated the Athens Hilton here in Greece. So we had come to Miami to talk and collaborate with some interior designers. So I had an idea of the architecture, but of course we didn't travel too much in Florida. All the projects we were reviewing, we saw a lot of new things, and with elements like sustainability, climate elements, that were new to me.
I have to say that I've never been in Florida, and I would assume that it would be, you know, heavily conditioned by real estate pressures and standardized construction models. And but I have to admit that after reviewing the submissions, this challenged my preconceived ideas about Florida, because I saw and we saw much more nuanced field, one that integrated the landscape, addressed the climate, and in some cases displayed conceptual clarity and spatial sublimity. So I was very, very surprised, and it was a great experience to see your work.
My next question refers to practicing architecture in different geographical locations. So how would you compare the way the climate or the real estate pressures have in some way been addressed in the projects you saw compared to the way architects would do that in Greece?
I would say that in Greece, the environment that we are asked to work in is more urban and more thematic than the idea that I got from reviewing the projects that were submitted. Of course, I'm afraid they lose a lot of things in the terms that I don't know the real urbanity of all these places only through the projects that were submitted. But it didn't seem that it's a dense urban environment as we work basically in Greece and Europe.
From my point of view, Florida, we understand that when we hear the news, we listen to the news about Florida, is like that there is the battlefield of climate change right now. And this also perhaps is somehow is connected to Mediterranean, you know, like countries like Greece, which are also, you know, like are becoming the epicenter of climate changes in a different way. Harsh summers, but also have these similarities with Florida. So I think although there are different kind of territories in terms of, you know, like other kind of population or real estate demands or whatever, they have this kind of similarity in terms of the weather and how this is going to affect the future architecture or the architecture that we are doing right now. That's my point of view.
And we saw a number of single houses, private houses, and less public buildings. And the strategy says these were all in less dense environment than we are used to, which is a more tight urban picture. And we saw new materials, new ways of building, because the weather there is similar, but quite drastically different because of very storms and whatever these the climate change has brought, the coastal conditions. So all of these were new to us. That was part of that the project that intrigues one to be involved in.
If I may add to these comments, I would say that I was pleasantly surprised by the variety of projects. I would agree that the territory in Florida and in the US is much more expansive than here in Greece and in Europe at large. But of course, our concerns are quite similar, or they should be. I was very much interested, as I said also in our meetings, in the student work and the theory work that we looked at. So this was my favorite part, but of course, several projects that are built and unbuilt as well.
In my limited experience with international juries, it was very intriguing to me to see how design can transcend language and culture. Did you also find universal themes between the two?
Not similar, or we imagine it was not similar, is the preconditions of producing architecture. We don't really know. We know a little bit from our, everybody has worked almost in the US, a little bit, but in old times. So there is a system of producing urban in Greece and in Europe. But I guess it must be very, very different in the States and especially in Florida. Of course, there are some similarities, but I personally didn't give so much attention to the things that were similar, like the big hotels, like the big individual houses. But we focused, I think, more on public buildings.
I think there was a similar, there are similar frameworks, sustainability, economy, resources, in all architecture all over the world. But Florida, it's deeply rooted with its climate, its ecology, which was a bit new to us. It was more identified in its buildings, and it was very obvious. Of course, there were some universal elements that we can connect with directly. And this is what makes architecture powerful, because you can connect right away. It's nothing so strange or so difficult to understand.
When I was teaching, I used to share that they were learning a worldwide language. About the jury process, what did you expect and what did you take away from that experience?
Well, first of all, if I may say so, congratulations for the organization of the whole process. I think it made it very smooth and pleasant. There was no waste of time, but at the same time, we didn't feel pressured. The pre-selection process and actual time that we spent together going through the different categories, debating on the projects submitted, which I must say something that I don't think has been commented, was that I found the number was staggering. But still, it was pleasant. There was such a great variety of projects that we had to go through and judge, despite many aspects that were hard to categorize. Nevertheless, I think that we worked in a way that made it challenging, lively, and compelling. And I think we reached some pretty unanimous results in the end. That was my experience.
I totally agree with Nikos. The process went very smooth, although, you know, the material and the days that we had to put on this effort were, you know, it was a huge effort. And thank you guys for all this arrangement. We had a lot of questions about, you know, like the territories. It was something new that we were looking at, territories that we had never imagined that existed before. So you helped us a lot. And I think that this process was very fruitful also for us, because combining also your previous question, I would say that it was, to me, it left me with you know, first of all, a very optimistic feeling about the future of architecture, although, you know, like in a very hard world that we all live right now, because there were things that I saw from, like behind the same ideas that we have here, the same way of thinking. I was expecting, you know, like projects that I wouldn't understand in terms of the context, in terms of the program, let's say, but I felt that I saw projects that they were small. They had this thoughtful way of designing the social impact, things that they are common across the world, across the globe right now. And they are very demanding for, you know, like new designers. So the overall, based also having also your help, and your help was, as I said, very important to understand mainly the context, because architecture is all about context, you know. So I think that overall that was a great, you know, like experience, even for us as architects, educators, and practitioners.
For me, it was very inspiring, and I didn't expect that I would be learning so many things from my fellow jurors, both Greeks and American. And as Florida has a very rich architectural history and a very dynamic design community, it's nice to see it in practice and to be able to have a conversation, to dispute, to share our views. And for me, that was very valuable. And everything, as we heard, went very smoothly. And I think we all enjoyed this event.
I have to say that before the beginning, I was worried a little bit. I didn't know if I was to expect a rigorous and even a technical review process. And I was very, very pleasantly surprised to have this very in-depth dialogue among the jurors, first of all, but among you, the colleagues from Florida, who guided us. And this process reinforced, in some sense, how productive diverse perspectives can be, and especially when we challenge each other's assumptions. And this reminds me that architecture is best understood as a conversation between different parts rather than a conclusion that closes the discussion.
So we have to give credit where credit is due. And the organization goes to Becky and her staff and Chrissy, who ran the show, so to speak. So we thank them for all their hard work. And I have to share that you guys are creating history, because you're the first jury that we've had on the podcast. So this is also makes it that much more exciting. So thank you.
So going back to your ideas and the fact that Stratis did such a nice job combining jurors from different backgrounds and sharing different experiences, working experiences nowadays. I would like to see your opinion on how you see the architecture education preparing students to have at the same time an inquisitive mind, but also to have the necessary skills to practice. We have a debate here between academics and practice of how much we need to prepare students to have like very practical skills to join, quote unquote, the workforce, versus spending most of the curriculum in more 10-mile high flights talking about concepts and design. But then since the time is so limited, how do we divide their time between the two aspects of the profession?
Since the question is directed more towards the students' ambitions, if I understood correctly, which, as I already said, was my favorite, I think that what is common in Florida, in Greece, and everywhere, is that younger generation of architects, especially those that are students at the moment, are going to be living in a quite possibly very different world from the one that we have been living so far. And I think that this requires new skills, new competencies, also new ways of thinking. I was happy to detect in the submissions in that category some of these skills and mind shift that I was hoping for. So I'm quite happy with the contact I was able to have with the work that is being produced by young people that are still in their formative years and understand their thoughts, the questions that they have, and the ways that they decide to address them through the architectural discipline. To me, that was really rewarding. Also, one thing that relates to the general process that you have put together has to do with the sustainability criteria, which I really appreciated. I'm not sure how much they are observed, but at least they exist, they are in place. And as I remember, we all appreciated that and focused on, decided to put extra attention and focus on the projects that responded to this criteria.
How did the student work compare to the work that you see in your universities?
To me, is quite similar. I truly understand what you were mentioning before about, you know, like this dichotomy, this difference between universities and practice. And I think it has always been an issue in the States, and I guess it still is. But my point is that in my way, there is no great difference in terms of how education should work in terms of the practice. The role of architectural education is to conceptualize the design, to allow and free, you know, like the expression of the students at the university. And I'm pretty sure that the American universities play this role as we do here in Greece. I would say that the architectural education is always to confront new ideas, to establish new territories, and to allow freedom that you cannot have necessarily in the practice. Practice is a different area. There are different factors. In my point of view, I enjoyed a lot the submissions from students, and also the submissions that there was a category from practitioners that they want to do their own research. This is something truly inspiring. In terms of the architectural, the student project, I found many similarities in terms of the freedom of expression, the tools that they had, you know, like visual tools, tools of representation. So I think I feel very optimistic about the role of the universities in the new reality, as Nico said, because we are going to face a new reality, or we already feel the new reality in the world right now with all these demanding, you know, like aspects.
I think even with a new reality, there are some core issues that will always be there as an architectural student. Technical issues, communication skills, and how things that may be not so nice for us, the budgets and collaboration with other people sometimes, and whether the things are going very fast and changing for us. There are some basic things which I think should always be there as a base, as a core.
I would say as an agri-tech hires sometimes new people from the universities in various levels, junior or senior, that it doesn't that matter that much which university, which things they followed during their studies. It more matters the stimuli that they got from the university, some samples of method, and the rest is up to them. There is a lot to learn during your practice. I mean, to follow and change and experiment. If you are interested in architecture, and if you are doing this because it's a passion and not just just a job, and you can find very, very different kinds of students, of architects on this issue, whether they are from a big university, from a small university, from United States or England or Germany or Greece.
Architecture is a profession that you have to love. It's not something you learn and it's something very dry and basic. You have to love it. And then, as some people say, you'll never work a day of your life because it's something that you like doing every day.
The world now is changing. It's changing very, very fast. So education is not only the university education. It's in your computer, in AI, in you are in the world that is changing and makes new issues much, much stronger than they used to be, like the change of climate, like the sustainability, like the use of what the earth has to give you and how it will change in the future.
That's very true. And I think the changes, they are coming so fast. I think it puts pressure on the university. How do we address those things that they are not necessarily prepared to go to work, you know, right away or be productive right away? But how do you consider how you design and deliver a project with the technologies, the AI, like you just talked about, the ability for here, we're having issues with other disciplines, even kind of encroaching on the design.
We may come to a point where the students are further ahead than the educators, and there may be a gap there on how to close this gap and be able to communicate.
I think that's evident here now that especially with AI and technology, that some of the new students or new hires are much more experienced. And then you have some firm owners that may not even know how to work a computer, much less the AI and the VR and stuff. So I think that's a challenge too, as we move forward. One of our categories, and you're going to understand my hesitancy. And when I got to thinking about it, I thought, I'm not sure how we're going to present this category to this group. But we have a category of historic preservation. When you're talking about preservation in Athens, it's a totally different aspect. We got a really good laugh out of that. And one of the things that I remember and have chuckled at several times thinking about the experience when Leonidas leaned over and said, maybe we're not the group to judge this category for you. I want to talk about, from your perspective, the importance of historical preservation.
I want to say something on this before I forget it. My concern during the jury thoughts were that there is a kind of preservation that is not a preservation of buildings, preservation of methods and procedures of constructing. Especially this in the United States, that there are the brick facade buildings and the shingle facade buildings that we don't appreciate that much because they are not striking new, they are not new ideas, but it's still a part of the environment and also a part of the trade. There is a trade around it, there is an economy that's going with that. They are quiet buildings usually, but dedicated to what they meant to be. And they don't strike us as something new in the age of newness that we live now, but for me it's valuable. And I would like to see it going on and changing through the time, but little by little.
So for me, it's pretty clear. I was trained as a preservationist here in Athens, and then I came to the States and I was trained there as a preservationist. I can see some differences and similarities. The difference, and it's a vital difference between us and you there, is that we have the idea of the monument, you know, like an ancient monument or a medieval monument or whatever. But there you have a broader idea of what is history that includes also, you know, like the society, I mean. I would say my studies at Columbia University in preservation were very important because I realized that before, you know, like the architectural history, you have the history of the society, the groups of the society, and we need to take care of them, you know, the untold stories, not the official stories. So I wouldn't say that you don't have preservation. You have a lot of, you know, like things to preserve there. Of course, you know, like there is the direction towards also adapting the climate change right now, but also promoting the social justice in the projects that you do. So I would say, I can say that I found this category very inspiring, very new, of course, to us as, you know, like Greeks and rooted, you know, like in 1,000 years ago. But I think history is not something that has stopped like 1,000 years ago, but history is something that was already built, you know, like 10 years ago. So this idea of expanding, you know, like what is historical and is not, is very appealing as an idea. It's very important. So truly, I was truly moved by these categories, by all the objects. And of course, you know, there is history there. I mean, there is history of the immigrants, the history of the native people, and the history of the new Americans, the new generations that create history. So history is everywhere. That's my idea.
Can I also add something? I understand that, as you said, we could say that if for Greece, preservation is not optional. It's somehow, it is embedded in the architectural DNA of our culture. But the key, I think, is not to treat preservation as a freezing past, freezing one part of the past. Rather, I think it's more about enabling continuities, although through, of course, critical engagement. For this, preservation, I think, should fuel contemporary architecture and not inhibit it. We should see that as a continuity and not as something that stops us from keep on creating. And in this sense, I have the feeling that we had some very fine examples that you showed us and we discussed about, and the mindset was very similar in a sense.
Just to add to this thoughts, I'm quite a lot, let's say, involved in the thinking of preservation, which has to do with collective memory, with what we choose to value, what we choose to bring to the surface or forget, how the social dynamics are part of this process. So it's a much more dynamic process that, if we look at it from this perspective, might allow us to have a completely different, more liberated, let's say, approach to preservation, which, as demonstrated actually in the projects that were submitted, might be of buildings that are only just a few decades old. And I think that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Just as it would be fine and important to preserve and value aspects of heritage that hailed back to millennia. Yeah, I think time, as I say quite often also in discussions with students, we need to introduce the element of scale in time, just as we do in space.
I'll move into a different subject.
So the idea or notions of sustainability, they came in our conversation when you were analyzing the projects very often. I would like you to share your experience in how sustainability has become a forefront in design in Greece, and how do you see the role of architect as maybe the leader into sustainability, or maybe it was the government took the initiative and everybody had to follow. How was the process there?
Well, I could continue. I think that there is a lot to be done and a lot that has to change in the education of architects, but also the general awareness amongst all layers of society in terms of how we need to respond to changes that actually we are responsible for the largest part. That's not uniquely a Greek issue, it's universal. To be honest, I think we're left behind. I mean, from my experience with contacts, the universities in Europe and elsewhere, there are efforts that are being made in this aspect, but because academic institutions have an inertia of and resist to change this, and because this would require a change in the way that the curriculum is being renewed, in the way that educators are educated themselves, and the way that all this becomes part, an integral part of what an architectural institution imparts to their students. I think it's lagging behind, and we need to speed up. Nevertheless, I would just like to comment again on the criteria that you guys have implemented. I think that they are an excellent start in this debate.
And we can no longer ignore sustainability in architecture. We have to see also the outcome of all these designs that are based on sustainability, on how much they are, have the elements that we need. And as architects, since we're shaping in some way people's lives, their community, we have some responsibility for all the that are going around in this planet, in the future generations, and the community in general. So it's, but it's not only architects, all other engineers also have responsibility as far as sustainability is concerned. And the people, I think, are starting to understand how important it is. It's we see very many times the politicians don't understand, or they don't want to understand. They bring about many obstacles about this issue.
So I see that that's universal as well.
I would like to say that the issue of sustainability, Reddit expressed in excellent way in a book that Nikos Anastasopoulos published later. It's good for everybody to read. And starting from that, I think Nikos mentioned it in the book. It's the time, what we do is not enough. We don't, as a whole world, we didn't find any solution to these programs, only some problems, only some ideas. I think it mentions that we need to design utopias about this thing, and then we see what we can do if these utopias work and direct us towards solutions on this very, very difficult issue.
We are waiting for the English translation of the book.
Nico, you have work to do.
I know it's one of the next tasks, but if I might just add, I think that it's a much larger issue that, of course, architecture has a very critical role to play in, but it also requires a mind shift in just plainly the way we live. And because architecture re reflects a way we live as societies, or it induces into a way, a lifestyle. So that's something that we also need to consider.
I also have the feeling that it is important to not to narrow down the discussion about sustainability only as an energy performance, but also as a social, spatial, and temporal resilience, that it's much more broad in one sense. So it's not just a technical problem. It is a problem that has political, ethical issues as well. So as architects, we have the responsibility to design not just for the present in this sense, but for the uncertain future of our buildings. And of course, this demands humility and long-term accountability, but in a deep sense, not just a practical and technical.
So has participating in this design jury process influenced or changed the way you view or think of approaching design or teaching?
Well, you never know, because the way we perceive architecture and see the buildings as they are realized, sometimes we keep some things in our minds. We store some images, some ideas, and we don't know that we store them, and they come again out during while we are working on another project. So this remains to be seen.
I'm not an educator, but it helps me even the way I think in projects we are working on right now. Every new project and we see and analyze and have the opportunity to understand it, it's a small pebble to our knowledge, and it's also always useful to whatever we are preparing.
It goes back to Leonidas when he mentioned that architecture is a dialogue, a conversation back and forth. And I think witnessing that is what comes to mind often when I think about it.
Yeah, and I think we, all of us, will take into our practices or our architectural activities some of the conversations we had during the process that were relating to how you approach design or what kind of specific design solutions you apply for different situations. It was a very unique opportunity to have a discussion on that level that normally when you're practicing, you will focus more on practical aspects of the design or code compliance, and you don't have so much the ability or the availability to have more abstract conversations about design, which I think was very rich during the time you were there.
And I think it's very important that the educators are also practitioners. And I remember as a student, I think we got much more knowledge from our professors that had also a private practice, because they were more into the whole concept of architecture. To combine both and to be able to interact, I think it's very important.
So as I mentioned earlier, you guys are setting a precedent in that it's the first jury that we've had on a podcast that we get to share. And so I want to take advantage of that opportunity. So for future submissions, people that would be submitting their projects, what were some of the things that you found most helpful when reviewing their project? What would you say to future people that were submitting their projects?
I can say that the most important for me is the clarity of the project to be communicated. And I think this is something that I always ask also at my students at the university, to be very focused on representing the project in such a clarity that even if I am opposed to the idea or I don't find something aesthetically, you know, like close to mine, that I am convinced, you know, this is the first. The second is, I think for me, is the social impact of the project. And when I say social impact, I refer to sustainability issues for sure, to communities, to the local community. So to find the reason behind of its project, even if the project is in private sector or governmental or public sector. So I would say this is the second, you know, like that they, I would say that the projects that we need more, they have to have a social impact in terms of even of a local scale, a small scale, even if it's an object at a park, but also a social impact in terms of the city. And the third, perhaps I would say, is like the thoughtfulness behind the use of materials, because we live in a world that the materials, we need the scarcity of materials now. You know, we have left these eras that we had plenty of materials, so we We wanted more and more material. So right now it's the opposite. We need the scarcity of materials and the reuse of materials to try and to find the ways to show to us new projects that the materials can be reused, they can be recycled, they can be taken away in the future. I think this is, and overall all these things and the paths that I always search in the projects is how to each project creates a new or push towards a new critical way of thinking again and again, you know, because we always need new ideas. We always need new ideas from new generations for the future. Nothing is granted. Design is not grand for granted, you know, like nothing is established. All the things have to be again and again re-questioned, and this is the only way to push further the architectural thinking, which is, in my opinion, the most important. So this is my overall approach when I see a project and I look forward to new projects.
Being on a more practical side, I hope in the future that the description is a bit more elaborate, which in many cases we were wondering what the use of the building was, exactly where it is. It was very nice that many buildings had the cost, which is an indicator of how things are going in the building sector. And to maybe have more drawings so we can have more global view of the project.
Also recommend to stop looking at images on Pinterest and trying to imitate other architects and start looking more and more toward the real world, the local community's problems, and trying to address these as good as possible. Sometimes it's tiring seeing the same style or trying the imitations of forms. What we really need is practical solutions of problems and ideas that try to address these problems.
I would say have a two-step coming close to each project I see. The one step is try to know nothing about it and imagine what it would look like or what it would, could be used 200 years after it was built. Or I mean, when the original program of the building is not there, like we have, let's say now, a tower that was meant for war and now it's a museum or something else. And the second is to read what the building, what the project says and understand why and for whom it was built and what is the limitations to that and whether it can go through beyond the limitations that the program has.
So is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about this experience?
If I may add something to this, which I'm not sure if it relates to your question, Rhonda, regarding submissions and how a jury, whoever that may be, perceives that work. One thing I would like to say is that, as we all know, architecture needs to speak through its own media and not through a verbal communication. So a good representation by a short text, a title, and an image that compels you to look further, which implies that the project has many different layers that it can be experienced. I think that would be one advice that I could give. Also, I would say that I'm not impressed any longer by visual representations that are produced by computer renderings and AI, and I very much appreciate, again, mixed techniques or even hand-drawn techniques, because they connect us to something that is more human, and they relate to the ability of the hand to express some mental concepts. And also, having said that, the main idea of the concept of that a building embodies how it gets through. Clarity, as Chris said at the beginning, is very important. Original visual representation, clarity in the text, and multi-layered information that invites you to explore the project further than just the cover page. So that would be my advice.
So I have to say that it was an absolute honor to meet each and every one of you. The experience I will treasure always. It has inspired a new project. I think I may have mentioned it when I realized that if you look, that four of the seven architects here are married to architects. So I think I'm going to write a book on that phenomenon. So if you guys want to share any perspective on that, please feel free, but I'll be reaching out to you on that one. So thank you, Stratus, Nicholas, and Leonidas, and Chrysostomus, and I know I just butchered your name, for your expertise and the care in which you reviewed each and every one of our submissions. I know that the recipients will appreciate the feedback.
On my behalf, I just want to thank you again, and I do appreciate your saying yes to the initial call, because I think that was the beginning of a great relationship that we have established, and we would like to keep it going for on and on.
I think we are available for another round of this kind of experiment or project. We worked very well together.
Thank you all.
I hope our listeners have enjoyed meeting the AIA Florida 2025 Design Award jurors. For further information, you can review their bios in the Design and Honor Awards section of our website. The Design Awards is scheduled for Saturday evening, August 2nd, at our convention in Tampa, Florida. Thank you for listening to the Voice of Florida Architecture, the podcast for AIA Florida. You can find us wherever you stream your podcast. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, and I'd like to thank my co-host today, Ms. Elizabeth Camargo, AIA. Thank you.
Thank you.